So a letter shows up. It says your employee retention credit claim is disallowed, and the business it's about closed years ago. That's the listener I want to talk to today.
Yeah. And usually there's a second layer to it, which is a marketer talked them into the claim in the first place. Radio ad, contingency fee, everyone qualifies. So the letter feels like an accusation.
Is it?
No. A disallowance is a civil determination. It's the IRS's opening position on a refund claim, and it comes with a built-in appeal path. It is not a fraud referral. The criminal ERC cases run on a completely separate track, and that track is aimed at promoters and willfully false claims.
Okay, let's do the numbers, because the scale here is part of why people shouldn't take this personally. What's the headline figure?
Roughly 84,000. The National Taxpayer Advocate, May 2025, said the IRS had acted on approximately 84,000 returns claiming the ERC, partially or fully disallowing them.
84,000, and that's a mix?
Full denials, partial denials, and claims flagged after a refund was already paid. It's not one clean bucket.
Then there's the 21,000 one, which I found kind of stunning.
That's from then-Commissioner Werfel's January 2024 briefing to the Senate Finance Committee. Around 21,000 pending claims from businesses that didn't exist during the credit period or didn't pay W-2 wages.
Didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
And those fail before anybody even gets to eligibility. Because the ERC is a payroll-based credit. No payroll, nothing for the credit to attach to.
Same testimony had another figure. The money already out the door?
20,000 claims where the IRS identified the employer got an erroneous or excessive credit. That's money it intends to get back. Plus, more than 3,000 new compliance letters to companies with processed and unprocessed claims.
Now, the one I actually think matters most for someone holding a letter is the 28,000.
Right. Summer 2024. Approximately 28,000 disallowance notices went to claims that showed a high risk of being incorrect, and those came out of risk filter analyses. Data screens run against the whole inventory.
Meaning what, practically?
Meaning nobody read your records before denying your claim. There was no examination. Which cuts both ways. It caught a lot of genuinely bad claims fast. And it also swept in some eligible businesses whose data just looked wrong from the outside.
Okay, so that's the part people miss. A denial isn't a finding about your documents. It's a finding about your data pattern.
That's why the appeal path exists at all.
Back up one step. How did the IRS end up screening everything?
The credit was real relief for 2020 and 2021 payrolls, but only for employers with a significant decline in gross receipts or operations fully or partially suspended by a government order. Two tests. The mills ignored both, filed on amended payroll returns, Form 941X. And the volume got so bad, the IRS froze new claim processing in September 2023 and started sorting inventory into risk bands. The 28,000 batch came from the highest risk band.
Let's talk about the letter itself. Which one is which?
Letter 105C is a full disallowance. Letter 106C is partial. Some quarters or amounts allowed, the rest denied.
105C full, 106C partial.
Yes, and each one states the reason and prints a response deadline. That date is the whole ballgame. It controls your administrative appeal rights.
What happens if that date goes by?
Your administrative path closes. After that, contesting the denial generally means going the refund suit route in federal court, which is slower and costlier. And honestly, that's court work that sits outside what we handle. So that's a conversation for your own counsel.
Okay, now split the audience, because there are really two situations here.
Two, refund never paid or refund already paid. If it was never paid, the letter isn't collecting anything. It's just withholding the money and opening your window. If you agree the claim was bad, letting a 105C stand costs you nothing. No response required.
That's a real option, not a cop-out.
It's a real option. Now, if the money was paid and the IRS calls it erroneous, that's recapture. It assesses the credit back as a balance due, interest running from the refund date, penalties on the table. And at that point, it behaves like ordinary federal tax debt.
Which means the collection sequence.
First bill, then escalating reminders, each adding interest and a monthly late payment penalty. Then a CP 504 class notice, which lets them take your state tax refund. Then the final notice, LT11 or Letter 1058, that starts a 30-day clock. And after that, they can levy bank accounts and income.
And for a retired owner?
Up to 15% of Social Security through the Federal Payment Levy Program.
Say that again more simply, because I think that's the sentence people need.
If a recaptured ERC balance goes unresolved long enough, the IRS can reach a portion of your Social Security, up to 15%.
There's a 2026 wrinkle, too.
The IRS workforce shrank roughly 27% in 2025, so reaching a human about your file is harder than it's ever been. But the disallowance, recapture, and levy notices are automated. Those systems never slowed down. Silence on your end doesn't buy you time. It buys interest.
Walk me through the recapture math the article lays out. The retired owner.
Hypothetical.
68. On Social Security. Shop closed in 2022, got a $60,000 ERC refund in 2023 on a promoter-filed claim. In 2026, the IRS recaptures it. So $60,000 principal and potentially a penalty of up to 20%, about $12,000 here. Call it $72,000 before interest, with interest running back to the refund date.
And the promoter's cut.
If they kept 20%, that's $12,000. So you only ever saw $48,000. The IRS recaptures the full $60,000.
That's the part that stings.
It is. Two honest notes on that, though. Whether a penalty applies to ERC recapture, and which one, depends on the facts. That's an area professionals actively contest. And there's an offset. If you reduced your wage deduction when the credit was claimed, and the rules required that, you can generally amend the income tax return to restore the deduction once the credit's disallowed. That recovers part of the hit.
If someone does want to appeal, what actually goes in it?
It's built quarter by quarter. Gross receipts comparisons against 2019 or the specific government order that suspended operations matched to the exact quarters claimed. Written protest to the address on the letter. Documents attached, tracked mail, keep copies. What you control is the documentation and the deadline. The hard part is the government order suspension argument. That one's murky, and it's where files get thin.
So next 24 hours, what do they do?
Three things. Find the controlling details on the letter. Is it 105C or 106C? What reason did they state? What's the response deadline? Then pull the file. The 941X claims, quarterly payroll records, gross receipts for 2019 through 2021, any government order, and every document the promoter gave you. Then get the denial reviewed before that deadline passes. The review's free, and you'll hear straight whether the claim looks defensible or whether the smarter move is mapping the exit.
And if a refund was already paid?
Then it's also about the calendar. Every month adds interest on money the IRS wants back. Repaying proactively before a recapture letter stops interest from compounding and shows good faith.
Clarity's enrolled agents do that review. 888-825-7779 or the form on the page, Bring the Letter.